Lord Christ Jesus, let me know your way today as I do my best to be myself and not react with malice or intent.
L'chaim.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. That one hit home.
It did.
Welcome, everybody, to Keith and the Girl. Patrice is here.
Yes.
We're going to have fun today, I can tell. Some days I feel it. Some days I go, you know what? I'm recording this today.
So what happens on the days you don't feel it?
I don't want to tell you. No. It's going to make guests uncomfortable.
No, I know. I know.
But today I do. Big news. J.D. Salinger is dead.
I thought he was dead already.
He, of course, wrote Catcher in the Rye.
So a lot of people are killing themselves now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I read that book. I was supposed to read it with my class. I think I didn't read it then. I just pretended to. And then I picked it up because, you know,
How do you get away with pretending to read Catcher in the Rye?
Cliff notes?
I cheat life. I don't know.
Okay.
just, you know, you kind of pick up on what people say in the class.
Okay.
I was always very good at essay things and bullshitting, or maybe I read a chapter here and there. I was bad in school. But then I think I decided to read it on my own when I started getting depressed, because it seems like the depression book, right?
Yes.
Like every kid who's
that
just
and the
upset.
Bell Jar. Any Sylvia Plath you can get your hands on as a teenage girl at about 16.
Well, I never read that, but I read it and I was like, I don't get it. So I guess I wasn't depressed enough. So now I want to read it as an adult and see, do I get it now?
That you're more depressed?
No, now that...
I was about to say, wouldn't that be disappointing if you all of a sudden... Oh, that's clear now.
Well, maybe I get references more now, you know? Maybe... Because I don't think I was that deep as a depressed teenager.
Well, I think you have to be fake deep as a teenager most of the time.
I don't think I was that.
Really feel you have like a strong bond with the book.
I think that is. But my brother read it and he was depressed. He was in the hospital after trying to commit suicide. And he got it. He understood. And the Catcher in the Rye, I never understood. He had these dreams where he would catch people, right? And he gave it to me, and I think he makes sense. He was saying that, like, a lot of
your brother told you what it means.
Yeah. So a lot of depressed people, and I think it's a very selfish disease sometimes, you know, because it's like everybody sucks. Well, you're basically saying everybody sucks but me. I'm too good for this world, you know?
Well, some of them say not good enough. That's part of the depression,
true.
Too.
I think I have the first one, unfortunately. You know, like...
I rock too hard for this whole universe.
It doesn't seem selfish when it's happening, but it just seems like, you know, everyone's a liar, and I just try to live my life as a good person, and the whole world is coming down on me, and, you know, that's not the case, you know, but that's how you feel. And so you just want to sort of have this... And I know my brother's going to be listening to this, and I'm going to fuck it up somehow, but he's catching people. Like, he can do better. You know, like, people who are falling, you want to be better for the world, you want to do better, things like that. I don't know. So he's catching all the falling people.
I'm not going to lie. I read it, but I don't recall a single moment of the book. That's how long ago it was. I don't recall any of it. I know I had to read it for class. I know I did a paper. I know I probably got a really good grade on it, but I do not recall the book.
I recall the main character being very depressed and snide, and I think as a depressed person, I was more manic.
He had an interesting name. I remember that. That's about it.
His sister had an interesting name, Phoebe. It was interesting to me at the time because I didn't
That's
know
very
anybody.
Exotic.
Yeah, I didn't know anybody named Phoebe. In fact, for a long time, I was reading the name Phoebe. Until
Phoebe. Yeah.
Yeah. Until I heard how it's supposed to be said, and I was like, oh, I'm glad I never said that out
was
loud.
Was it Holden Caulfield?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Nice.
I'm telling you, Alzheimer's makes it come back in bits and pieces. It doesn't all hit me at once.
Holden Caulfield is more the anti-hero.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Oh. I don't know.
Yes, you just cleared everything
up. Does that mean he's the Joker or Batman?
Keith, did you read it?
No.
No? Okay. Would you or...
No, it sounds pretentious.
It was a little pretentious. The guy was... That's what I'm saying. Like, the guy was just... Everything sucks and...
Yeah.
Who read it and went crazy?
crazy?
I don't mean everybody. I mean...
Someone in particular?
Yeah, somebody read it and shot somebody. Was that the guy who shot Lennon?
I think he had a couple reasons. He might have had a copy of it on him when he shot Lennon.
Is that what it was?
I remember he had a book on him when he shot Lennon, and that was a situation. Like, they were seeing if they were drawing parallels.
Is it wrong that now every time somebody says situation, I think of Guido's?
No,
they got me.
Wrong at all.
They got me.
It's not wrong at all.
And I never watched an episode. This is a sad world. Just so you know, just so everybody is aware.
That means you're slightly blessed.
No, this is where life is going.
You lived in New York. You don't have to see it, really.
I grew up in Queens.
Yeah, I like punishment, so.
Here we go. Mark David Chapman's shooting of John Lennon. John Hinckley Jr.'s assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan. Robert John Bardo's shooting of Rebecca Schaefer. And other murders have been associated with the novel.
Oh, really?
Really?
This book is making people insane.
But he was such a kid, you know? It's such a kid book, you know?
It's made for adults, for sure.
People love to take things and make it their canon.
He was really just, it was slightly older than teenage angst, maybe. But again, I'm sort of speaking from ignorance still, because I don't remember really the book.
But I think anything that's written with like some breath in between it, where you could put your own story into it, like, oh, that's just like me. You can make it your own thing, and if you're nutty, really make it like you.
I never thought while I was reading it, this guy's anything like me.
No.
Nothing.
Wasn't
no.
a book?
No, because he's more, like I said, I'm more manic, you know, and I get depressed, so I'll get like, I don't want to get out of bed, but eventually I want to get out of bed because I need to destroy things. So I need to be manic, where he was just like, ho-hum, ho-hum, ho-hum. I was like, don't you want to listen to music that's too loud and go out and destroy yourself?
I'll be in bed and Hendel will try to wake me up like, come on, we got things to do. And I'll be like, oh, come on. Aren't you depressed again? Can't we get depressed?
Can't today be a down day?
You have a disease. Let's stay in bed.
See, I think I did that more with music than books at that age.
Yeah, I think so too. But I was never really into reading.
Okay.
I had to force it.
Well, this book sold a total of 65 million copies.
Wow.
250,000 copies every year.
I'm sure in multiple languages.
There's one in everybody's back pocket at some point, know.
It is one of the books like I can picture buying and then never, ever reading. Like, oh, I have it.
Are you planning on reading it?
It goes on the shelf.
You know how you do the musical discoveries where you want to... But you know his musical discovery?
He wants to,
if he's going to talk about the Beatles, let's really know the Beatles and really read everything, really listen to the things that they did.
Go beyond the singles.
Right, so that you're not like, oh, Beatles, blah, blah, blah. So he's been doing that with music. The same thing happens with books. There are, you know, a couple handfuls of books that people reference all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1984, Catcher in the Rye.
1984 was really good. Animal Farm was really good.
Animal Farm. No, 1984 was... slightly scary, and was only good in the beginning and end.
Yeah.
There was a whole middle that I'm like, I get it. I fucking get it.
Like,
and I can't put this down because I said I would finish it. But I fucking get it.
A movie would come out and people go, this is like 1984. And I go, good. Glad I waited.
Wow.
Now I got it in 3D.
Wow.
You know? They're like, oh, this is the story of Pocahontas. I'm like, well, now I see it in an IMAX.
Name Sacagawea.
I think 1984 was a really smart book for somebody trying to let us know where things are happening. It was very smart. It did say some stuff that kind of makes you a little creeped out when you think
perfect.
About it.
Perfect. Then definitely let me see. So I shit my pants and can't do nothing about it. All right. Where's where's this book?
Well, just you know.
Who cares if you know? What do you do different? Now you know. Government's watching you. There's cameras in your computers and TVs.
I just try not to eat high fructose corn syrup. I don't do anything else. That's That's my only job.
Have you seen those high fructose corn syrup commercials where it's like, no.
Aren't they creepy?
There is a commercial that...
we're cool.
Yeah.
It's all sunshiny, bright farm colors. It's all like yellows and greens. I went to the website just to try it out because I did a Google search trying to find the alternate names for high fructose corn syrup. Because if they don't actually physically say high fructose corn syrup on the label, sometimes they can use another version and say it doesn't contain it. Because they're using a different variation of it. You go to that website, there is no information on that website except that it's okay. Smile. No, you can eat. It's just like sugar.
Have you seen this commercial, Keith?
No.
Okay, it's two women at a kid's party, and this one woman is pouring out some juice, and you know a lot of kids' juices do have high fructose corn syrup. Mm-hmm. And the other woman goes to her. It's a black woman, a white woman. The black woman is pouring the high fructose corn syrup.
Of course.
The white woman goes, "Oh, I guess you don't like your kids much." And she and the black woman goes, "Excuse me?" She goes, "High fructose corn syrup," and she goes, "Yeah." And the white woman goes, "You know what they say about it?" Black woman goes, "What?" And the white woman goes, "It's not good." She goes, "Or do they say it's okay in moderation and it's not really a blah, blah, blah?" And they spit out all this stuff where high fructose corn syrup is okay. And then the white woman goes, "I love your shirt." That's the commercial.
Why I gotta be a black woman?
Well, actually, the black woman, I think, is seen as the smart one. Where the white woman is just tossing
nonsense. No, but then we're automatically just offering up high fructose corn syrup and making excuses for it.
I just think they're using, you know, how moronic everybody is, including
myself.
Why she
couldn't be Asian.
They were giving me reasons why high fructose corn syrup is good. I can't remember that part, let alone why it's
bad.
Well,
they get into the part where it's fructose, and fructose is found in fruit.
That, yes, yes, that one.
Fruit.
So are seeds.
Fruit kind of sounds like fruit. And we all know fruit's good for you.
And then it tries to give you this real hard science example, like if they wear you out, you will stop asking questions. Like the chemical construction of the bond. Da, 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 da. I was like, oh, close. I'm still going to investigate further, but in English, done.
Mm-mm. But what's funny is that stuff tastes like shit. Even if I don't know the science behind it, my teeth feel like they're rotting as I'm drinking it. Well, I think that tells me something.
I've started reading about the omnivore's dilemma and a couple other books. And one of the rules is, if you turn a food package around and a third grader couldn't say what was in it, don't fucking eat it.
That's a Breyers commercial.
Don't eat it. They got it from Michael Pollan. Don't eat it if you can't say what the fuck is in it, which is kind of smart.
That eliminates a lot of things.
It's true.
Yeah.
I don't watch things that aren't in English without subtitles. What?
Hey, by the way, also died today, the poltergeist witch.
Zelda Rubinstein.
117 years old.
No.
Yeah, she put a spell on herself.
I can't even say no because I didn't look up how old she
is. She's not 117.
I believe she was in her 70s or something.
I thought she was long ago dead.
I killed her in December.
Right?
I did, unfortunately, because she had gone to the hospital originally in December, and they said that she was going to die within hours, and then it was like iffy if she was dead, but apparently she was released and they never reported that part, so I killed her the day before New Year's Eve.
Oh.
Is that the woman who... Oh, I'm saying this.
Yeah, I killed her after Poltergeist 3.
She was done for you.
Oh, my God.
She's also a teen witch, Keith.
She looks like... Oh, Teen Witch, yeah.
She's a teen witch. I don't know how you can't claim that. That's a very important movie.
Because I have balls.
Okay.
I think that's how...
No, it's true. It's true.
Hey, before Patrice gets to a gossip, let me tell you, I got a little gossip of my own. This was in the paper. The Post, ESPN, a couple other places picking it up now. There was a Mark Sanchez sighting. Mark Sanchez is the quarterback for the New York Jets. A sighting Tuesday night in Birmingham, Alabama, where he told people at a music club he was in town to see a doctor about his knee. It was confirmed by the Post that Sanchez, I'll tell you why this is interesting, who suffered a mild right knee sprain in the Jets' win over the Bills on December 3rd in Toronto, was in town to see renowned orthopedist Dr. James Andrews. He is the best in the business. Sanchez, who missed the December 13 game at Tampa Bay because of the knee injury, was at a Birmingham club called the Nick. Well, apparently you're only supposed to
go get doctored and come home.
Not have fun. Where he watched a Brooklyn-based band called Her in Kings County. Brother Love is drummer for that band now, of course. Oddly, witnesses say he was smoking a cigarette in the place. This is somehow news.
It is news.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, Brother Love.
Hey, what's going on, party people?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. Good to hear your voices.
So Brother Love saying, well, this isn't really how the whole thing went down.
No.
And they took this from the Her in Kings County Facebook.
And I can confirm that they probably did, because they've done it before to New York-based bloggers. They will snatch a story and either call it exclusive or claim they've confirmed it.
So he's
oh, yeah.
You're playing at this club, and what? There's like 10 people in the club.
There's barely 10 people. We're playing at this place. It's a really cool rock club called The Nick, and we played there before, and this was, you know, just a cold, wintry night. Tuesday, we played, we did our set. We were packing up. We were getting ready to drive back 3 hours to Nashville. We said, let's get one last drink. There's nobody in the bar. Except one kind of sexy crack whore who actually used to live on Fifth Street in my neighborhood. So
wow,
what a small world!
Sightings everywhere. Anyway, so we're like, let's just get a last drink and you know, and then we'll get the hell out of here. And all of a sudden, Justin and I are big Jets fans in the band. He said, "Yo, Brolo, man, isn't that Mark Sanchez?" I mean, like five people or six people walk into the club. We're like, "Damn, now there's people in the club. We just finished playing. Ah, shit." And I turn around and it's fucking Mark Sanchez. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm geeking out. I've been a Jet fan. I'm a loser, my whole life. I am like the little schoolgirl. I'm like, oh my God, man, you're like the hero, man. You're our hero. You're my hero. And everybody's like, shut up, bro. What are you doing, man? He's sucking this guy's dick. I'm like, they're like, he lost. I'm like, that doesn't matter, man. We did a great job. Thanks, man. And I go,
I
love the weed.
I pull one of our posters off the wall, her in Kings County poster, and I grab a marker. And I walk over, I said, hey man, can I get a mark? Can I get an autograph from you? And he looks at me and he's smoking a cigarette and he's having a drink and he's with his boy and like two kind of almost sexy girls, kind of. They were dressed sexy. You know,
right neighborhood, wrong house.
You know? And this big guy who's like sitting next to him on the pool table, and I'm like, yo, dude, please, can I have your autograph? And he goes, well, my boy signs all my autographs for me, so he'll do it. I'm like,
ew.
Come on, dude. I'm like, dude, don't do this, man. I'm like, dude, I am a lifelong Jet fan, dude. I am a big fan of yours. And he's like, I'm serious, man. He signs all my autographs for me. And I'm like, man, come on, man. You kidding me? He goes, well, you guys just played? I'm like, yeah, we just played. How come you're not playing more? I'm like, because we're done. We're going back to Nashville. He looks at the poster. He sees Monique's face. He goes, oh, she's leaving too? I'm like, yeah, she's leaving too, dummy. You know, yeah. He goes, oh, give me the marker. And he draws a heart around her head and then like an arrow through it. And he goes, what's your name? And I'm like, I'm such a guy. I'm like, Larry.
I'll still do it.
Like, Larry. And he goes, okay, Larry. He goes, he signs it. Look, dear Larry, go Jets. Mark Sanchez, number 6. We posted it on our Facebook. It's in a black magic marker, so it's kind of hard to tell. But I was like, oh, dude, that's really cool. Thank you so much. And you know, and I'm as we're leaving, and the band is making fun of me for being such a geek, I'm like, this fucking guy does. You don't know who I am. You don't know who I am. You don't know who this band is. You know, you could be asking, fuck you, you could be asking me for my autograph in a year, man. So I'm getting all riled up. So we end up just posting. We just posted on our Facebook, like, hey, you know, we met Mark Sanchez.
Let me read
blah,
this.
Blah, blah. He was smoking a cigarette. Brolo got an autograph, and he you know, he liked Monique.
Hold on 1 second. Brother Love, hold on 1 second. Let me read it exactly. Her in Kings County. This is at their Facebook, of course, / Her in Kings County. Rocked a bar in Birmingham, Alabama, thenickrocks.com, to a crowd of maybe 10. Justin is packing up the trailer, and Mark Sanchez, quarterback for the Jets, of course, walks in with a few brute friends, wasted, smoking cigarettes. We instantly call him out, give him pounds. Brolo gets his autograph. He crushes on Monique for a second. Then we leave and drive 3 hours to Nashville. Here's Brolo's autograph, and they have the picture there. So these guys
we wake up this morning, and it's just, it's in the Post. ESPN Radio is talking about it. We heard it was on New York One.
Wow.
We just went viral, y'all. Yeah.
Congratulations.
What is the big deal that he's smoking a cigarette?
That's just extra story.
You know, they have to do damage control. You can't do anything. I mean, he's off season. He's done. But I have a feeling that nobody knew that he was going to look at an arthroscopic doctor. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't announced. I mean, I'm a Jet fan. I would know if my star quarterback, who's getting paid millions of dollars, is going to get his knee checked out just because I'm a geek like that. I have a funny feeling that they were like, oh, shit. And, you know, so they just did a little damage control. That sounds about right for the Post, right?
But why not just say, hey, I want to party?
Yeah. I don't know. You know something? Somebody who's getting millions of dollars like that, they might have stuff in their contract that's like, you know, you can't be. Who the hell knows? You know,
what
I mean, it's a big investment for one of the biggest franchises. You know, it's a New York franchise, no matter what you say. And they were one game from the Super Bowl. Do you remember they make shit about him eating a hot dog on the side of the side during a game?
Yeah.
For what? What does all that mean? We don't care. We were just like, hey, man, if you were a little nicer at the time, I was like, if you were a little nicer, we wouldn't even mention that you were smoking cigarettes, but you had to be a little bit of a bitch, huh? Right on, man. Now you know who we are. You're welcome.
Yo, why aren't you playing no more? I want to hear music. You got to play.
Right, exactly, right?
Yeah, why don't you play catch with me for a minute? I'll tell my friends back
home. Do your job, I'll do mine.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, you didn't do your job, but neither here nor there.
That's probably why it was an issue. If they were going to the Super Bowl, it wouldn't have been a story to pick up that he's in a club.
I know.
Whether he was visiting
a
surgeon or not.
I'm so much happier that the Jets lost.
Yeah.
Now we get a little more publicity.
And it's because didn't he sit a game out? From what I read, so that's probably what
it
is.
No, he did not. I'll stop. All right, girls, please stop. Girls, stop. Stop. Stop.
The paper
stop,
said
girls.
He sat out a game on December 13th.
He played wonderfully. He's fine. He's fine.
Okay.
He's fine.
Okay. I didn't mean to mess with you, boo.
He's fine. So that's the story there, man. I miss you guys. Good to hear your voices, y'all.
Hey, you too.
Why, by the way, would somebody even want somebody else to sign his autograph?
And admit it.
Just do it. Just, you know, even if you're a douche, right, and admit it.
Yeah.
Or maybe you don't admit it, but what's the point? Then sign it at home. You know, once you realize this guy's an asshole and he won't sign your autograph, well, somebody you know, could they sign it?
Your mom's here?
Right. It's weird. It just shows to go, you never know who you're talking to, especially at a cracked out looking bar that's, you know, in the middle of nowhere at 1 o'clock in the morning. You always got to be careful.
He should have been suspicious when he found a Jets fan in the middle of Alabama in the middle of the night. Like,
yeah, right. Exactly.
I've always
that's why
said
I'm
this.
Always careful, folks. That's why I'm always careful.
That's right.
There's
no cameras.
There's little babies coming out with curly hair saying, aha, because I'm always careful.
I look on the train every time I'm on the train to Queens. Like, oh, you kind of look like Brolo.
Now, Brolo's right. I've said this before. Treat one another as if the other person is going to write a book.
That's right. That is true. That's a good way to treat people.
All right. Take care, buddy. Don't forget, everybody, go to brotherloverocks.com. If you go to brotherloverocks.com/store, you'll find his solo CDs. He has two of them, and I think they're fantastic. And, of course, her and King's County, a couple CDs with them as well.
MySpace.com/her. You can catch them on the road right now, and there's usually meetups up around it. You could follow Brother Love on Twitter. He lets you know where he's performing next, and his is at Brother Love.
We have a meetup happening in Atlanta Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday night. And, yeah, we're in Nashville now, so always, you know, keep in touch. Thank you, guys. I love you so much.
Love you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Did you hear, I'm not sure what Atlanta you mean, Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah.
Is there more than one?
Atlanta, Georgia has been called by The Advocate, by the way.
As the gay journal?
The gayest city in America.
Atlanta?
Probably, yeah. And there is such a high gay black man population there.
Well, aren't they DL then?
No, the younger ones are clustering there.
I thought it would be Seattle.
Really?
No. San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
They're not even at the top. San Francisco, New York, none of these are at the top. It's like Iowa. It's a place in Iowa. Maybe. I was going to say Indianapolis, but that seems like too well known. Where, like, I'm looking at this list and I'm like, what?
It's probably because there's a lot of young gays, too. I associate San Francisco with older gays, with the money that can live in San Francisco.
See, I don't. I associate people even moving there just to be gay, just to be out.
But I think it's like Disneyland of gay now. It's been gay for so long that it's like a cartoon version of being gay.
I was there, gay flags everywhere.
Yeah, that's kind of like being in Times Square. All the lights are on. You want to go somewhere where you could be the gay. It's not special enough to just be when you're younger. You can't just be gay. You have to be the gay. So if you go to Atlanta, you get to be one of the gays. Plus, with all the dancing and the
I don't follow either.
Thank you. Okay.
The gay. No, it's special.
And I'm gayer than she is. I should be able to do the math.
I'm just going on psychology. Just people like to be special. In Atlanta, you could be special. You could be the choreographer guy. There's also a lot of arts
there. You're going where everybody's gay, though.
But not San Francisco, because they're the cart. It's like they have the money to live in San Francisco.
Do you ever say I don't know?
No, no. I've said it four times, and I meant it all of those times. But they don't live in San Francisco as much anymore.
Talking about football, the band The Who is in the Super Bowl.
Yes, they are. They're playing the Super Bowl.
Really? That's a little obscure, no?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's... I'm into it. I think it fits. You know, Britney Spears doesn't fit. You know, I don't need NSYNC. I don't need bands they have.
They always, but when they do that, they do the older band and then the younger band. Like, the Aerosmith did the year Britney did it. Like, they try to go for all of the audience. They don't just have a younger band and then the older people are confused.
Well, they have The Who and... Who's the child molester in The Who? Pete Townsend. He downloaded... child porn
by accident, he says,
right, over and over. And
but no, you never got caught in a loop where you just pressed the one by all these windows
of child porn.
No, I didn't say child porn specifically.
That's the
damn,
loop he
Hamda.
Went into. No, I never went into a loop.
Loops
of child
happen. You just don't click the spam. You can't click it. They're not really going to send you Viagra.
If you get into a loop by accident of child porn, throw your computer out the window. Just throw it out the window. Say forget it. I'm
just trying to see it from his perspective.
Okay. Maybe Devil's Advocate doesn't work on this one.
So he admits to the cops, hey, I was doing a book.
Yeah.
On child pornography and nude children. So that's why I had to have all this stuff. And of course he gets convicted. Because
when you do a book, you do the behind the scenes stuff. You're not watching. And in child pornography, when a child touches the man's penis, he goes up and down, not sideways really.
Well, some of the more inexperienced kids might go sideways.
Well, anyway, now I understand. Oh, Patrice. Why do we bother?
That was fucked up.
I know. I'm sorry.
Okay, continue.
So now they're putting up flyers.
No, they're sending out postcards.
They're sending out postcards. These, what, people that are, it's of course, opposed. Who isn't?
It's a child abuse organization. They sent out 1,500 postcards to people who live surrounding the stadium, letting them know that Chester Chester Child Molester is coming to town.
Yeah, Pete Townsend might come into your house.
And to schools. So shore up your babies, because he's coming.
Because he's part of the Who and he's performing?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And because they knew, I mentioned it, like, they knew people would talk about it. So they get the name of the organization out there.
I don't have a problem with it.
I don't either. He is a registered sex offender, but they're saying that you only stay on the registry for 5 years, so he actually might have been removed by now, so they may, because it happened in 2003.
Why do you get removed? The sensation doesn't remove itself.
Well, I guess if you're a non-offender for a certain amount of years, you get removed.
Okay.
All right. You did your parole.
Also, he's British. The rules might be different there. I think in the States that you are just registered. Because have you ever gone to that website where you look up your zip code and it like shines red where all the sex offenders live in your neighborhood?
And it's like everybody in your town.
Yeah.
Well, I like it. I like it. That's fine. No problem. You got busted for doing this, then we're going to send out these postcards. If anybody comes to town, famous or unfamous, I would like a postcard sent.
I'm sure they do it for people who actually move to those different neighborhoods, like if they're really well known on the registry. But they're doing it because it's Pete Townsend.
Fine. Remind people. Just for a second. Like, when you're enjoying The Who, don't forget that guy looks at the pictures of naked children.
By accident.
Right.
By accident.
No, he admitted it.
No, I know. I'm kidding. Yeah.
Okay.
He admitted it. Well, keep just looking at me like I'm...
Well, there's a big difference. I want to be clear. He's admitting, yes, I did it.
Yeah.
And how come he never wrote this book? Where's the fucking
book?
Well,
they shut down the research process.
I was two kids away.
How are you going to write a book uninformed?
Oh, well. Patrice.
Keith.
Oh, speaking of music, by the way, let me mention this. The Black Eyed Peas... It's being said that they stole their song, Boom Boom Pow.
Yes, Boom Boom Pow is a stolen song. There are two songs that terrible.
I imagine. They stole it from a four-year-old, I imagine.
They stole it from a another group, and it was called... I said it before, and I don't remember what I said it was called. Hold on.
Bang Bang Boo.
Yeah, Boom Dynamite.
Okay.
And they stole the song, and there's some comparison, especially with that 2000 and late line.
Yeah.
It was in the other song as well.
Whoa, that's a little close, too close for comfort. Yeah. That is not going to be me and Henda's love song anymore.
If you ever had a first dance, it would have been to boom, boom.
No, ours is boom, boom, boom. Let's go back to my room so we can do it all night.
You can make me feel right.
Oh, boom, boom, boom.
And then if I can last two songs, it's Pants on the Ground.
Which is stolen too.
What?
Back Pockets on the Floor is the original, and they're suing the guy who went on Idol and sang Pants on the Ground because they're saying they wrote that song ages ago.
Okay, first of all,
what are they suing that guy for?
What do you get? What money are you going to get from that guy?
Nobody's gotten a nickel out of this situation, but they're suing him.
They're suing for 10% of all his begging every day.
Yeah. They're suing him because they have the song copyrighted.
The song, what's it?
Back Pockets on the Floor.
Back Pockets on the Floor. Back Pockets on the Floor. You got your back pockets on the floor.
Pick up your pants. I don't know the exact lyrics, but I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
I think you're close.
Well,
yeah.
I hope the first bomb gets his just due from the second bomb.
There's no money to be had. The first bomb wasn't getting a check for it anyway. It went viral and no one was paying him nothing.
He's suing the singer. He's got to go to court.
That William Hung gave everyone stars in their eyes when it comes to making up some shit on American Idol. So he thought maybe he'd get an album deal or something, but nothing has come of it yet. So.
The Pants on the Ground guy should get something. I mean, he's American, just for American Idol playing it.
He signed a nice piece of paper and said, whatever you do, that's ours.
You know what?
The Pants on the Ground guy.
That's what I mean.
Well, he can't get anything. He did sign things.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what choice do you have? Oh, Keith, I just signed a Windows agreement.
But that's why you
signed... No, you have the choice to not do an original.
Right.
That's your choice.
That's when you sing from the list. If you know you have some gold, you just act out and get people to come look you up and come to your little website, and then you sing Pants on the Ground. Yeah. You don't give Pants on the Ground
away for
free.
Wouldn't it be nice to buy this guy a steak dinner?
Maybe
whatever,
they did.
I read the contract, you read it too, for American Idol, and it said, if you sing your original, we own it.
Okay, everybody, keep living in your world of whatever fair's fair.
I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying, and you've said this before, you signed the contract. That's what you signed.
I know. I'm saying it's bad. I'm saying if you're if you're playing Jessica Delfino on a TV set while I'm taking a shit, she should be bought a hamburger. I'm saying, you know, just to throw something a thing so that they don't get mad and end up suing you down the line.
Well, there's another guy who actually got kicked off of Idol because he went through the whole process. He got the ticket to go to Hollywood. His father fucked it up for him. His father ended up on local news because, you know, when you come from a smaller town, local news...
I'm sorry, pants on the ground made it to...
Different guy.
Oh.
Made it to LA.
Okay.
His father fucked it up, and he's now no longer going to be involved at all because the father, when local news came, because he comes from a small town, local news, you know, hometown boy, we want to see what happened... revealed that he made it to the final whatevers. Like, he had gotten out of the first rounds of LA and was going to be on the broadcast that starts.
Oh, I see.
And part of that contract says that nobody, you weren't supposed to tell anybody in the first place, and they're definitely not supposed to say so. So he's been cut. So his father killed his whole career.
His whole career.
For now. Well, no, in his head. Up to now, this was his whole career. So his father killed his whole career.
Sky Jedi is saying also in the Idol contract, listen to this. There's a clause where Simon Cowell can rape you and you're not allowed to sue him back.
That's right.
What is going on?
Randy gets seconds.
What? You already stood in line. What are you going to do? Not sign it?
Are you going to not see Ryan Seacrest?
Hello. Hello. Patrice.
Keith.
What's happening with celebrities this week? You got to tell me. You got to quit holding back. You know why you're here.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, that's why we're here?
Yeah.
Oh, this is dumb.
We talked about Johnny Depp might not be coming back for sure. Orlando Bloom is not coming back. He said no thank you. So they really might be going with this idea of kicking back to a young Jack Sparrow if it keeps up.
Yeah, Keith Malley's not coming back either.
I know. That was the part that disappointed me most of all.
I'm done with those movies.
Ugly Betty, TV show,
no,
ABC.
Thanks.
It's been canceled.
Good.
It's going to continue its run for the rest of the season. They have 8 episodes remaining to film, so they have time to come up with an actual ending for the show. But ABC has decided not to pick it up for next season due to poor ratings, primarily because the story sort of fell apart. And they've been moving it around as far as the time slot a lot, so people don't even really, unless you're dedicated to the cause, don't know how to catch it.
Because now that she's a star and she has money, she's looking better and she can't be called Ugly Betty.
She never looked Ugly Betty in the first place.
They
bought her smaller glasses. That's how they changed her for the season. That's their glamorous Betty now. So it fell apart really quickly.
Give her contacts, take off her braces, have her fix her hair
a little
bit.
Oh, her braces are off. She got her braces off this season.
Oh, good. I can't believe I missed that. Maybe they didn't like it. It was like Felicity.
That is the most epic of all TV failures. Mm-hmm. One haircut ruins an entire series.
And they blamed the series.
They did.
They don't blame the idiot viewers that can't take that somebody got their hair cut.
And it was written into the story, too. Like, she broke up with her boyfriend at the time, and I'm 18 now, and I'm having a moment of crisis, and she cuts her hair.
Which, according to Brother Love, a lot of women do after they break up with
someone. Apparently, I've heard that.
You say moment of crisis. By the way, let me say, she just cut her hair shorter. She didn't shave her head.
Well, she had the hair.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
I'm putting it in context.
Haiti could live in that.
She had hair. She had a lot of hair, and she comes back with, like, almost the equivalent of shaving her head.
Oh, get out.
It was very short.
It was super short.
It was boy short.
Were you shocked?
No, I didn't give two shits. I'm just saying that there was a difference. It wasn't like she got a bang trim and came back.
Well, I was seeing, it said, like, the biggest bombs on TV was Entertainment Weekly, right?
Yeah.
And it was Jay Leno was number one, and then it had a bunch, and then it was of history. And Felicity was like in the top 10, cutting hair. It should say the biggest failures in history, the Felicity era, America.
No, yeah, they're saying that the way that that was handled all around, because then the CW went into the mode of we never approved the haircut and no one on our shows are allowed to get haircuts anymore without approval. Because apparently she had cut it on her own over the summer, so they wrote it into the story when it was time to come back for fall.
See, I think she's wrong for that.
It had nothing to do with a film role and you didn't send them a note.
Yeah, I think she's wrong for that. I think you're a character on a play. You're not allowed to get a tattoo. You're not allowed to do any drastic things to your body because you have to play this character. And actors know this. It's not a crazy thing for me to be saying.
That's why dudes grow beards in the summer when they're not working. And when they come back, they shave if the character shaves.
Yeah, I think that's okay. I think she shouldn't have cut her hair because the TV show didn't tell her to cut her hair. That's your job. She also can't gain weight unless they tell her to.
Make her pregnant.
Yeah, she can't get pregnant until she talks to the networks, or you could lose your job. That's just your job. But for us to freak out over it...
After one season, they got so attached to that hair.
She did have beautiful hair.
She did have really nice hair.
What am I missing?
I don't know. She's it didn't make hair. Me. It didn't make me stop watching. It gave me pause for all of 2 seconds.
But you girls still love the hair.
I never saw the show.
Change
I never saw the show. The I never saw the show.
Luxurious, would you say?
Her hair is,
it was.
Is beautiful. So what?
It was a lot cascading, of Keith. Cascading.
Oh, it's on her head, right?
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. Cascading. Head hair, even.
Cascading.
I'm not saying that I flipped out. I just
no.
It was beautiful.
I noticed. That's all. That was about it. I noticed, yeah. And I moved on when they explained it in the story. But other people hung on to it. Some people stopped watching,
and it ruined her career. I mean, she still had other things, but
and she's a great actress too. So it was kind of fucked up. But
no, well,
is she a glamorous actress?
No, she did that movie Waitress, and that was really good.
So there you go. She got a movie.
Yeah, it was very small.
Yeah.
It was a tiny, tiny
and
movie.
It only got any kind of press because the woman who wrote it and was one of the stars died.
And the
Curb Your Enthusiasm girl is in there.
Is her hair now in the Museum of Television and History?
Well, no, because she didn't know to save it because she didn't know it would be a big deal.
It should be.
She should have known it would be a big deal.
You walk into the Museum of Television and History and it said like...
Archie Bunker's chair and Felicity's hair.
You know, beads that they have, like hippies have in a closet. You push them out of the way. It should be her hair when you walk in and you push that out of the way.
You know nothing about running a museum. It'll be all on the floor in days.
It keeps growing. This thing's magnificent.
Now I think you're making fun.
She had more hair than Cousin It. Is Hugh is glamorous.
She just had, look her hair up. She had really nice hair.
We called it the golden carpet. And stars would walk on it to collect her awards.
You're funning at me now.
Rapunzel, we would call her.
I'm discontinuing this conversation about Felicity.
All right. Okay. What else is going on?
Okay. Mad Max 4 is casting. So far, they have on deck Charlize Theron.
Okay.
Nicholas Hoult.
Ooh.
Zoe Kravitz. Mm-hmm. And the film, I've never seen Mad Max, but this tidbit was, the film is set after Master Blaster dies.
Okay.
I don't know.
He's not a good guy. Master Blaster.
He's the Master Blaster.
I've never seen it.
He's an African-American gentleman, and he's not friendly.
Oh. Jersey Shore. MTV is ready to go ahead with a second season. The only holdup is the actual cast. They're all trying to hold out for more money.
I hope none of them cut their spikes.
From a Viacom network, which is not smart because they don't give you money if they don't have to. So they're saying they're not willing to offer anyone on the cast more than $10,000 an episode. So far, JWoww and Ronnie have gone ahead and signed the contract. They said they made an announcement that the rest of the cast has the close of business tomorrow to either sign or they will move on.
They have to sign. What are they going to do?
What are you going
to
do?
Yo, there's no business done on the shore.
But the thing is, I'm sure the 10 grand is more than they got the first season. Mm-hmm. But also, right now, they're making the bulk of their money in club appearances. Snooki's getting 10 to 15 grand to turn up at a club.
I thought she was getting 2 grand.
And host. Well, that was the original, like, during the first few episodes. Ever since she got punched in the face, it went up.
$10,000 this bitch gets.
10 grand. And they fly you to the club and keep you up in a hotel and treat you nice and pop bottles.
Weird.
And then you just... Hey.
Well, you have 15 minutes.
And you judge a Guido contest and come home.
Wow. They better save their money.
By the way, I'm sorry. To go back real quick, was there a war going on when Felicity cut her hair? I don't remember.
Wait, what time was the Gulf War? It was after the Gulf War because I was already out of college. I don't think there was a war going on when Felicity cut her hair.
I'm also being told that Charlize Theron is being cast as Sugar Tits in Mad Max 4. Is that correct?
I don't know.
And people are saying that Master Blaster was the midget. No?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Max is saying it, so he would know.
Felicity was in 1998. Was there a war then? I don't believe so, no.
No, that's fine then.
We were not in wartime. So we had time to focus on it because we weren't in a wartime.
That makes sense now. Well, good luck to the Jersey Shore kids. Yeah, they're idiots.
They're all signed everything by tomorrow when they realize that they're dealing with Viacom and they really do not give out money. They don't have to. But they're also cashing in really quick on the Jersey Shore thing because typically it takes a little bit to get a series DVD out. The Jersey Shore DVD, I believe it's either out now or will be out next week because they're actually recording it on DVRs on demand. So basically, like if I were to burn a DVD and give it to you, they're doing that but putting a package around it. And that's how they're selling it on Amazon. It's not a professionally pressed DVD. If you go to the Amazon page for it and read the description, it lets you know that it's only going to play in certain kind of players because it's a DVR.
What in the shit?
Who's putting this out?
MTV officially is putting it out. They aired the first commercial after the last episode, and when you go to the Amazon page and read it, it's not a, it says that it's a DVD-R and that it'll only play in certain players because they want to get the pressing out so fast.
Don't they have the originals?
I don't work there. I'm telling you what's on the Amazon page.
They got to wait until they air it and then record that and then sell that.
The season's done already, but typically they wait a longer amount of time and put out a professional DVD. This one is instant, and they're printing it as it's ordered.
That sounds retarded.
I don't work there.
They have. Do they know they have the originals? Do they know
that? I'm sure they heard about it, but I'm sure they're doing it on a small run as opposed to sending it out to whoever does larger runs for them.
Do you know it's actually easier and faster to package the tapes you have right beside you on
your desk? I'll say it like my mother would say it. I don't know. I quit my job there yesterday.
Okay. All right. Put them on the phone.
Yes. They're on line two.
They're upsetting me.
I know. I'll read it to you right now. Jersey Shore season one. It is now available. And, oh, wait. No. Pre-order. It's February 23rd. And then in the description, it says, hold on. The page is loading.
A lot of people love it. They love this Jersey Shore.
DVD-R note. This product is manufactured on demand when ordered from Amazon.com. They're printing it as needed. They're not. It's not going to be in stores on this date. It comes out later in stores.
Okay, but that doesn't mean they're recording it off of a DVR.
But why are they printing it out so fast?
To me,
they're recording it to a DVR.
To me, it sounds like you're getting it available on your cable if you buy it.
To me, it sounds like, well, nobody knows what
this is. No, you're getting a physical DVD.
Yeah, you're getting it on demand. Like, you order it, I'll send it out. I don't know why they would even tell you that, though.
But they're telling you that because then they're telling you that this version is not going to play in certain players. So you have to wait longer for the official copy to come out in stores.
And you don't know if it's your player or not? You just buy it and hope?
Dream a little dream.
Okay. Well, good luck to them. I'm sorry, I'm more focused on the iPad. So really, this doesn't really concern me.
If you buy an iPad, just burn the money. It's a giant iPhone. You look like one of the littles. Honey, I shrunk myself.
What else is going on, Patrice?
Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Still dead.
All right.
The Grammys are this Sunday, and they're premiering his mini movie called Eco Song. And in it, they're going to have like a whole stage tribute.
What's it called?
Earth Song.
Earth Song.
Not Eco Song, Earth Song. And they're setting up the stage show, and people behind the scenes at the Grammys now say that his kids are involved, that the three kids are going to be on stage at the Grammys, and it's not official yet as to whether they're singing or they're just, you know, part of a children frolicking in what's left of the earth portion of the tribute.
That is what Michael wanted after he put them in masks all the time.
Yeah, no, for them to be exposed as much as possible.
Well, is Joe in?
Joe's not involved. Catherine's involved, so I have to believe that they're probably not going to sing. It's probably going to be like if the whole family comes out on stage to say thank you for the tribute or something like that, they might come out with them.
Gross.
I know. Also at the Grammys, they're saying that there's going to be a duet between Elton John and Lady Gaga. Why not? Two strange queens working together. Dennis Hopper is dying.
Mm.
He has the prostate cancer. And because of that, he's getting a divorce from his wife of 17 years, Victoria Duffy.
Sure, just in case you go to heaven, you want to be free. Marilyn Monroe's up there.
They got virgins and shit.
That's right.
You got to be ready. Well, no, they're actually saying he's doing it because his adult children have been like, we don't want to have to split up all this money with her. She's none of our birth mother. We deserve this money. So basically he said, okay, fine. Because he and the wife only have one kid together, and he's going to make provisions for that child. The wife claims that he's only doing this because of his other adult children. She filed court papers claiming that he's shown explicit sex scenes from his own movies to his six-year-old daughter, Galen, keeps firearms, including a loaded shotgun, in the closet within easy reach of the child. She also claims that Dennis Hopper called her a human garbage can.
Oh, my goodness.
And threatened to end her if she ever left him.
Love is a many splendid thing.
People they express it in different ways.
These people stood in front of whoever the fuck they believe in and said, I love you.
But it's all tone. You're my human garbage can. Look at who's my human garbage can?
Me.
Oh. And she says, at this stage in his life, he's using marijuana multiple times daily. I've kind of come upon him using marijuana in Galen's presence and in
using
recent...
Using marijuana?
Using the marijuana weed. He writes with it. He draws. In recent months, I requested the court order him to refrain from using marijuana and any non-prescription drugs 6 hours before and during any time he spends with the child. I'm assuming with the cancer, he's using medical marijuana. So she might be playing dirty pool. And he's agreed to pay her spousal and child support, but wants to cut all of the ties.
Now, were you saying that they're married, but now that he's dying, he needs to divorce her so that...
the kids will get the money.
So they hated each other anyway.
Yeah. I'm sure, but he wasn't dying at the time, so it wasn't as important.
Amazing.
I can hate you from afar.
That's not weird?
He's weird. Let's be honest. I mean, what was that? Blue Velvet, Easy Rider. The guy was a freak from day one.
He was in Speed.
Yeah, remember when we played the same guy in Speed and the same guy in Easy Rider and the same guy in Blue Velvet?
Look, some people have a niche. Who's going to play the insane guy now, Keith? Who?
There's something about him I like, too, but the guy's a nutball.
He's got nut eyes.
He's got nut everything.
He's like Gary Busey, but with the willingness to turn up for work. You know? Gary Busey has the crazy. He doesn't have the follow-through. That's all. Somebody has to have the follow-through. Simon Monjak, better known as the husband of Brittany Murphy, still dead. He is suing now Warner Brothers for wrongful death of Brittany Murphy, claiming that she suffered a heart failure as a direct result from being fired from Happy Feet 2.
What? Oh, wait. Did we hear this last week?
That he said that anyone who took the role was full of shit and shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But now he's officially filed a lawsuit suing them for firing, for being directly responsible for the heart attack that dropped her in the shower.
That's nice.
Yeah. He's also acknowledged that he's no stranger to lawsuits, reasoning that I litigate when somebody does something wrong to me. It's one of the reasons I make enemies.
Okay.
All right.
He's saying that after she was fired from the movie that The Caller, that things started to go a little bit downhill, and then the Happy Feet firing was the final straw that killed her.
That gave a 32-year-old
a heart attack. A heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Tough business, honey.
Yeah.
But a fun fact, on that movie The Caller, he was her hair and makeup artist.
Who was?
The husband.
Fun fact.
Fun fact. I wrote fun fact. You saw. Isn't that interesting? Melanie Griffith needs to think about that, because instead of seeing her shadow every time Antonio Banderas is in a movie, she could just get a job on the movie. Because they say she stands around on set. That movie he did with Angelina Jolie, where all they did was get naked and like make shapes. She was there the whole time, every day, because she heard about Angelina Jolie and she said, not my husband, you don't.
Yeah,
and
that's how you stop your husband from cheating.
Yes, you stay in his line of vision.
Yeah, okay.
Because if you cheat in front of me, I will catch you. Cameron Douglas.
Are they still together?
Yes. Is he dead? And they're still together. Right. She's not letting that man go. No, thank you.
She used to be hot, right?
Then things happen.
Yeah. Surgeries happen.
Mostly to her face.
Yeah.
She didn't take a look at Meg Ryan and learn. She just went ahead with her own version of it.
I think she was first, right? But if you're good looking, definitely improve on it.
Yeah, go ahead and, you know, do some things to your lips.
Oh, Sky Jedi saying about the lawsuit about Happy Feet. Wouldn't they have to prove that losing the Happy Feet job is a bad thing?
It is a bad thing. Happy Feet wasn't the first Happy Feet was a hit. It made a ton of money.
It was a joke that I guess I was amused by.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Nobody else.
I didn't realize he was kidding.
Yes.
You think they should play Happy
Feet? Big deals.
They should play Happy Feet in court and decide.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. That was rude. Cameron Douglas, son of Michael Douglas.
Of course.
He was arrested last year for dealing cocaine and crystal meth in New York, and he pleaded guilty to distribution charges as well as heroin possession. He's going to be sentenced on April 27th, and he is going to receive a minimum of 10 years in prison. Michael Douglas said, Cameron has a lot of his life still ahead. He now recognizes his own demons and struggles. He's a tough kid. Still, he's in a federal prison where you've got some big bad boys down there. And Cameron,
and that's what they're calling him, big bad boy.
They're calling him, tell your daddy to put something on my commissary.
She just cracked herself up.
Right now, we're all sitting here. Cameron Douglas is making some man's dinner before he comes back to the cell.
Ew. Wow, Patrice.
Okay. See, this is why I didn't have cable for the longest. I just talked to myself. WWE wrestler Chris Jericho.
Y2J.
He, what?
What's his name?
Oh.
Yeah, Y2J.
Really?
Yeah, he's the best at what he does.
Everyone needs a good 1999 reference. He is a arrested at a gas station in Kentucky early Wednesday morning after cops say he and a fellow wrestler, Greg Hurricane Helms, were arrested, and they were both extremely intoxicated and fighting in public. They were later released on a $120 bond.
When they found out it wasn't real fighting?
Each. See, that's the thing. Like, did they think they were filming another episode of Steven Seagal, Lawman? What was going on? Like, if you see two actual wrestlers fighting in the middle of the night, do you think they're doing some sort of punk?
Promo.
Yeah. Cops responded to the gas station after receiving a complaint about two men fighting in a club. When they arrived on the scene, they located them, and they were manifestly under the influence of an alcoholic beverage.
And
may have had one, officer. I'm not going to lie to you.
They split a juice.
It had high fructose corn syrup.
Damn high fructose corn syrup. You can give it to your kids, but not to professional wrestlers. And they're also saying now that Helms possibly slapped a woman in the cab, and that might have been what set off the physical part of the fight.
I'm hearing from our buddy Shug Bear, of course, a wrestler himself, saying that according to TMZ, Matt Hardy was with Jericho and Helms. I know from Matt Hardy, of course, he's the high flyer, if you don't know. But he ran away, so he didn't get arrested.
That's right. He didn't run fast enough because he ended up a part of the story, but he didn't get arrested. VH1 is bringing back Tool Academy for a third season.
Okay.
There were two seasons?
Yes, I'm done.
A lot of tools out there.
There are. They have to be corrected.
Okay.
This season, they're going to be focusing not just on male tools dating girls. Sure. They're going to be featuring bad boyfriends, bad girlfriends, married couples, and gay couples.
Okay.
What a spin. How did they think of this? Amazing.
Pope John Paul. Mm-hmm. The second.
He's going to be on Tool Academy.
He's going to be on Tool Academy when he's done being dead. There's a new book about him and his quest for religious perfection. And they're saying that he's one of those people that used to do the self-flagellation, that he used to go to his quarters and beat himself with a belt at night in pursuit of being a higher sort of religious dude. Mm-hmm. And they're actually petitioning for him to have sainthood, and that's why they put it in the book. So if you go home and beat yourself, it's apparently a good thing.
Huh. Remember that? Remember the, what was that, Tom?
Yeah. The Da Vinci Code.
The Da Vinci Code. And the albino would do that. He would start taking like a band of spikes and start ripping at his leg anytime he didn't do good killing people for the Lord.
I think wasn't Victor up for that role, but they decided to pick a fake albino?
He wasn't albino enough.
Damn.
I think it was a black thing.
You need to be...
He should have called Al Sharpton.
You need to. Right, and Al Sharpton's like, all right, where's the black guy?
There was that other movie Victor should have been in, 3000 BC or whatever it was. I think I saw it with Jess, and it was just filled with albinos, and we were looking if Victor wasn't there.
I think you have to be, you can't be albino to have those crazy eyes that look like you're going to kill people, because albinos' eyes are all over the place. They're not very threatening.
That is threatening if you can't pay attention.
It just looks like you can't see me coming. You know, you don't know where I moved to my left. I missed you.
You feel like the superpower in the situation.
Yeah.
Self-whipping is regarded as an act of penitence, and the late Pope felt it would inch him closer to perfection. He also spent nights sleeping on a bare floor for the same purpose. He led the Catholic Church for 26 years, and the book is part of a group of people who are aiming at making a case for sainthood for him.
All right.
So sleeping on the bare floor is similar to...
You see, the sainthood or homelessness. One or the other.
Homelessness is next to godliness.
Homelessness is next to godlessness. Mm-hmm. That's not how the Bible goes, Keith.
We haven't read it in a while.
I'm waiting for the movie.
Ever since they took the pictures out. There is a movie, Keith.
What's it called?
Passion of the Christ.
I'm in.
Okay.
It's in 3D.
It depends on what theater you go to.
That's it.
It's killed people.
I need an IMAX.
It's a very serious film. It's not an IMAX. It's a round sound. Yeah. Iron Man 2.
Yep.
It's coming out. April. Ooh. And they have now announced their soundtrack.
Oh, there's going to be songs in a movie?
Yes.
Oh, what is it?
The entire soundtrack is going to be composed of AC/DC songs.
Sure.
From dating from 1976 to 2008. They're saying that 15 classic songs selected from 10 of the band's studio albums will be used.
That's stupid.
I know.
That's very stupid.
What are they going to use?
It's just a serious
What are they going to use?
Big Balls.
Tesla songs. Oh, you mean what, AC/DC songs?
I don't know any Tesla songs. I only know Big Balls.
That's dumb. You know who else did that, by the way? All AC/DC songs. is a Stephen King movie. Stephen King's a big AC/DC fan. His books,
really?
A couple of them start with AC/DC quotes. It was the one where machines come to... It's horrible. Machines come to life. Somebody will tell me what it is in a second. But the movie... There's a comet passes... Or Earth passes through the tail of a comet, something like that. And that turns all our machines into alive.
Isn't that Transformers? You could easily just say everything right now and we'll be like, yeah.
Right.
Sure.
Wasn't that Transformers?
No. This is just... That's silly.
No, but part of the Transformers plot, wasn't it something to do with a star?
Landoleries?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Langoliers?
No.
Okay, I'm just...
Still wrong.
Okay.
It's not Langoliers?
Yes.
That's a word, though. That's a Stephen King word.
Yes, it's Langoliers. It's Langoliers now.
You don't got to talk to me like that. I'm a person. So I was trying to help you.
So in the movie Langoliers, all the machines come to life.
And when I'm right, watch.
And it's... Okay. Like toasters come to life, they'll try to kill you, everything. And then of course the cars can come out and get you and the military vehicles with weapons. It was god awful. It's probably the worst movie based on anything he's ever done. And some good movies came out, like I can't think of one now. Cujo was out, Christine was out, the one with Here's Johnny, what's that one where he's crazy in a house,
Jack Nicholson,
yeah, that one was out. And so he says, no, these movies, people made movies based on my books. Well, I'm directing this one, and this time it's going to be done right. So he's shitting on all these movies, and his movie was god-awful.
Iron Maiden?
Yes, Iron Maiden.
Whatever. There's a movie called The Langoliers.
Well, the Here's Johnny movie is called The Shining, okay? I know I'm right about that one.
All right, so it's a movie he did.
You know, you didn't do any better than we did.
Exactly.
Just for the fucking record.
At least she said Lala, and I got...
At least you guys are saying movies.
See? Attitude.
1995, The Langoliers.
Okay. Is it Milo and Stitch? Yes. The movie is called Maximum Overdrive. Overdrive. Very good.
I just got
so
The Langoliers
mean, right?
Right. I was right, though. I wasn't wrong. It was just the wrong movie. That's a real word.
That's what he was telling you, is it was the wrong movie. I was just trying. I don't know what you're talking about. You're speaking. I'm trying to read the feedback, and you're mean.
You're just naming movies.
You mean, though. That
I'm
was a real word.
I'm naming movies that they're trying to help me out with on the feedback. I don't know what movie you're referencing.
Well, you're just naming movies. How are we going to get anywhere?
I'm reading off the feedback. You could just say, no, that's not the one. I'll keep reading, and maybe Iron Maiden will come up.
Exactly. You didn't need the sarcasm on it.
The movie's not real. Iron Maiden.
The Langoliers is real.
Whatever the fuck he was.
Well, anyway, it's a great movie.
It was Tommy Knockers.
It sounds great.
It's called Dreamcatchers. Mm-hmm. All right. What else is going on, Patrice? I can't anymore.
There's a second pregnant man.
Oh, no.
He's named Scott Moore.
Good.
He needs a TV. His original name?
He needs a TV show. He didn't release his original name. But Scott Moore is pregnant. He is married to a man named Thomas. They were both born girls and have undergone surgery to transform their sex. He still has a female birth certificate, so they're legally married, unlike gay couples that have to go back and forth with whether the state, you know, is letting them be married that day. He's eagerly looking forward to giving birth. They've decided to call the child Miles. We know some people who will criticize us, but we are blissfully happy and not ashamed. The couple already have two children, Greg and Logan, 12 and 10, who Thomas, the husband, had with a previous female partner who died.
Wait, does he still have the one who's pregnant? He's looking forward to childbirth. Does that mean
he still has a Johnny?
So what makes him a man?
He's got all the other stuff.
What?
Like the
stuff?
First one. He's stopped taking the hormones.
So he has a mustache.
And,
yeah. I know a lot of women who have mustaches.
They also don't have friends.
Jeez, laser hair removal. We're good.
Women with mustaches, I call them guys as a
favorite. I would assume the part where they've both gone surgery to transform their sex, it's like the first one who had the breast removal.
Okay.
The mastectomy or
I
whatever.
I know people who have that too.
And they have cancer.
Right.
But I'm guessing after the kid, he'll do the peenie like
the first
one. I'm
fine, and I'll call you a man when you turn into a man, and that's fine.
Well, we had this conversation with the first pregnant man.
I know, but it's not miraculous, and it's not crazy. It's not crazy at all, and it's fine even if you don't get the surgery and you feel like a man.
But I would like a check because I appear to be a man and I am pregnant.
That's just not the case. You're not a man. Reproductively speaking, you're not a man, and that's what we're in awe about. You have a mustache.
And you had to get the mustache, so I'd take it seriously. So I'd really understand that you're a man.
What I'm saying is I hope the baby comes out fine, and congratulations.
Yes. May they have a healthy child.
Yes.
Gary Coleman, troubled actor. He was in jail after he had a warrant out on him for failure to appear, and a fan bailed him out of jail. The bail was $1,700. He sat in jail for 2 days before his fan bailed him out. The fan also, a fan of Gary Coleman, went and bailed him out of jail in Utah.
Wow.
He said that he bailed him out after seeing his sad mugshot in the press.
It was more than
his
sad.
His mugshot, he was giving a womp womp face like a mug. He was just, again. Mm. So he offered to give Gary Coleman a ride home, but Gary said it was fine. His dad was coming to pick him up.
All right.
That's all I got. He's going to appear in court February 8th. His wife called the fan afterwards to thank him for bailing Gary out. And he was, which is only funny because the actual original charge, I believe, is for domestic violence with the wife.
Yeah, that's not the only part that's weird, but yeah.
I started the story with Gary Coleman. It could only descend from there.
Yeah. And that's all for that, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's it?
How are you?
He's still very upset with us.
I know. It's okay. Patrice. I'm now going to go home and watch the Langoliers, though.
Well, Sky Jedi is saying, I totally just had the Langoliers to start a fight. Thanks, Sky Jedi.
Good job.
It's a good movie. All the robots come
Which
alive.
One?
Langoliers. What now else would it
now
be?
Now you're being mean. No, you're not. You're being mean. I was just saying that the Langoliers is a real thing and not a made up word. You said it like, right. I made up a word that's not in the dictionary.
Langoliers is a movie, so it could be that movie. Maybe it's Surrogates.
I'm not going to get anywhere with you on this.
I'm going to have popcorn just watch you guys because I give up. As Sky Jedi saying 2 for 2, you fucking asshole.
I was having a fight. I was having a discussion.
That's such a girl thing to say.
It's no one yelling. This isn't a fight.
Hey, let me mention this. HelenHeartaches.com is Patrice's website.
Yes.
You can read her movie picks and gossip on there.
Just to the end, huh?
And so make sure you check it out. What's going on there right now?
My birthday wish list is up because it's my birthday next week and I'm going to be old.
Oh.
There's a bunch of new video stuff from Sundance. The video for the Ryan Reynolds movie I was talking about is up, the buried thing of him in a box, and a lot of other stuff.
Okay, then.
I want to remind everybody that we are accepting submissions for the stand-up contest again for April 15th. The way you submit is you write to info@keithandthegirl.com. You give us an MP3 of you doing any kind of stand-up at your house, at a club. It doesn't matter. Just straight onto your computer. It can't exceed more than 2 minutes, so 2 minutes or less. And we're going to play some of them on the show, and some of them might not make it, and somebody's going to win to open up on April 15th for Keith's birthday /DVD taping.
Really?
Yep.
All right.
Imagine.
We'll do it.
So info@keithandthegirl.com. Thank you, Patrice. Thank you,
guys. Thank you very much. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks for spreading the word. Appreciate it. Bye. Keithandthegirl.com.